Tara, we've got our buddy, our good friend, Chris, joining us this morning. Good morning, Chris. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Tara. Everything good?
Yeah, everything's really good. Nazzy's back in the studio, so it's now we're kind of like readjusting again. Yeah. But it's okay. At least we're still doing what we got to do.
We're in different studios. Tara's off in her own isolated soundproof booth. I'm over here. You're there. So I think we're all following the CDC guidelines. What do you think of?
Yeah, but Nazzy, when you came in, did it look the same, or had somebody kind of been in there? Did someone like move your cheese or something?
Yeah, like redecorated a little bit.
I may have done a little bit of redecorating.
My pen was out of place, Tara.
Yeah, his pen was out of place.
My pen was out of place. So, Governor, listen, this is something that's on my mind. It's on Tara's mind. It's on every parent's mind. And I know you've been kind of talking about it for the past couple of days. What is going to happen with our students? Are we going to be going back to school? Because I will tell you, at my house, it is like World War III every day, just for my son to do his lessons. And I have so much more respect and appreciation for educators because of what's going on at my home right now.
It's tough. Look, it's been an amazing process of having parents do what they're doing and having teachers do it remotely and using technology in all new ways. But no, it does not look like the kids will be going back to school this year. Unfortunately, we just could not find a path and a way to do it safely to ensure social distancing and physical distancing and ensure that they weren't going to, you know, what we call asymptomatically transmit it. Because we find that now that, I mean, just in the past few weeks, you have so much more data that shows kids pass it back and forth and they never even know it.
That's exactly right.
They don't have any symptoms.
Yep.
And then they bring it home to mom and dad and grandma and grandpa.
Right.
And that can be really, really dangerous. So, no, we couldn't find a pathway forward, so we're going to stay in the remote learning mode. Again, it's very challenging, we know, but we actually do it really, really well. Most states just are cutting everything off. They're not even doing remote learning. They're just saying, okay, vacation.
Right.
And that's not a good pathway. They would like to, but we were set up to do it, and the systems that weren't really set up to do it leaned right into it and took it head on, and they did a great job with it. So we do have that opportunity to hopefully minimize the kids falling through the cracks, programs falling through the cracks. But let's understand, hopefully, if and when we get back in September, we'll have some catch-up to do as well.
Yeah.
So we may have some extra programming that might have to come into play there. We're not just taking it for granted that, you know, the end of this year is just like nothing happened. No, there were a lot of things that happened. So one thing we're going to be doing as well, we're encouraging districts, they can make up their own mind, but, you know, a lot of them should probably go to more of a pass-fail system, right? You know, we heard from a lot of students, straight A students that are going to college, but, you know, they are trying to fill out applications next year. You know, they don't necessarily want their GPA affected because the whole school year got put into trouble, things like that.
We're
trying to give some guidance to folks about how to do it, how to make sure, you know, we're not holding kids back, understanding that this was a whole new challenge and norm for everybody. And so, therefore, a lot of flexibility has to be put in to the grading system and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. Now, you're talking about, let's talk about for a second, okay, and I'm going to get real here. I know that our president, President Donald Trump, has said that he has the decision, you know, making skills, that he's going to be the person to decide when and if we open the country up. I know that there are a lot of governors that have said, wait a second, we're the ones that decided, you know, how we're going to close down our state. We should be the ones to decide how we reopen it. And I'm completely on board with that. We're very different in New Hampshire than, say, Michigan. I'm sure you saw what's happening in Michigan
right now,
where people are like rioting.
Yeah.
But you have the you have the right mind, the right sound of mind to know that if we open up the state, we're going to get sick again. Do you know what I mean? Like, we need to make sure that this is absolutely 100% completely behind us before we get back into any sort of a routine that we had prior.
It needs to be a vaccine.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a vaccine is probably a ways off. We know that.
Right.
So it isn't binary. It isn't just opening and closing. It's probably opening in steps.
Right.
You know, and taking gradual steps with everything, whether it's a stay-at-home issue or businesses, non-essential businesses.
Yeah.
All that has to come into play, but we have to be very careful with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I'll be the first to say, probably not the first to say, I'm completely on board with whatever decisions that you and state officials are making, because, you know, I have complete trust because you're a family man as well. You know, we all have families, and you want to protect yourselves as much as you want to protect us. Yeah.
public safety has to be first. It really does. Now, I'm a business guy. Like that, I'm a huge believer that when the economy is strong, everything else falls into place. And we proved that. That model worked really well. We designed a very strong economy in 2017, 2018. It worked. But at the end of the day, there are innovative ways to get the economy moving again while still inching things forward. And we didn't stop our economy like Michigan did. We didn't just shut everything down. Right. We really kept, I think, a nice balance of flexibility and public health, which is why we've seen our numbers stay depressed, which is good, right? Mm-hmm. If you are watching what's happening in Massachusetts right now, it's really bad. It's still really, really bad.
Yeah. And their numbers
literally
are
just south of them.
Their numbers are going up every day. I mean, that's something
every
I've been watching.
Every day they're going up.
Right.
I mean, I've got family in Boston, and they're in some of the hottest and hardest hit areas that I'm cringing.
Look at Lawrence. I mean, Lawrence is an absolute hotspot. I mean, Lawrence General and Holy Family Hospital, they're I don't want to say they're overrun, but they are brimming with COVID patients right now. It's a really bad situation, and that is literally a mile south of our border.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So let's be appreciative of that.
So President Trump says that we've reached the peak, that this is, we've reached the peak. Now we're on the downside of the coronavirus pandemic. I don't so much agree. Do you?
I can talk for New Hampshire. I don't know where we are nationally. But the problem is this. There's not a peak. There's not a single point in time where you hit a peak and then you just start going down.
Mm-hmm.
And New Hampshire is proof of that. We seem to have plateaued,
okay.
But we're not going down. I mean, the last couple days, I had 60 new cases. I had 5 more deaths yesterday. Yeah. So we're not necessarily going down. Now, a plateau is a good thing,
yeah.
But that's probably where we're going to bounce around for a while before, hopefully we start seeing something on the downside. But these smooth bell-shaped curves you see on television, those aren't real. Those are theoretical models.
Uh-huh.
So we've kind of, we sky-high, we're kind of bouncing around here at 50 or 60 cases a day, 70 cases. I think we had a day at 80. And hopefully we don't go back up that high. But we're probably still going to be in the 30, 40, 50, 60 cases, new cases a day range for quite some time. And so that's why you can't just come out of things too fast.
Yeah.
Because you could then hit the second surge very, very quickly. So it's great that we're not seeing our numbers constantly increase. Like Massachusetts, it's great that our hospitalizations seem to be very manageable, much more manageable than we anticipated. That's awesome. And that isn't by accident. That's by design, because we were aggressive with physical distancing. We were aggressive with, shutting certain things down that we could shut down. And that allowed us, people took that very seriously. They made the sacrifice and it worked. I mean, the model works when you do it the right way.
Yeah.
When you're too late about it or you come out too fast, look at Boston, look at New York, New Jersey, Florida, Louisiana. Those states just didn't take things as serious as we took them here,
right.
And we
did
it right. Now, we also didn't go so far as a place like Michigan, where, you're just, threatening to arrest people for
that's scary.
Not standing in line the right way. I mean, that's a little too military for me. So you have to have the right balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've struck, and we have struck the right balance. I would love if every decision didn't fall on my shoulders. I'm not going to lie. These are really, really tough decisions.
Yeah.
But I think we have a great team. We're making smart. We're looking at data.
Yeah.
We're trying to be very smart about it. We're listening to our constituents. And I think we've done really right by the state so far. We got to keep doing that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we've struck the right balance. And we're going to start looking at models to come out. Now, when we implement those models, I'm not sure. But, we are going to already start designing ways to get hospitals going again, to get business going again, but you got to be careful about it. The hotspots are things like the beach. I mean, how do you open a beach,
right,
knowing that everyone in Massachusetts is just going to run up here? I don't know. I mean, I'm open to a lot of ideas.
Yep.
I've said it many times. If Massachusetts and Maine don't open their beaches, we can't open ours.
Yeah, no
but
way.
I'm talking to Governor Baker, Mills, and Governor Scott. I've been talking to them virtually every day about this stuff, and so our teams are working constantly to kind of, brainstorm some ideas. And if we can all get there where we have a new norm, a new model, we can maintain public health and safety, but still allow people some flexibility to, enjoy whether it's a beach or a campsite or trails or whatever it is over the summer. We want to be able to do that. but it's got to be with public health first.
Yeah, it's got to be done for the right reasons with the right decisions.
Yeah,
I completely agree. Governor, listen, we thank you very much for joining us, and I hope that the next time we get you on the show, it's to talk about where some of the fun places in the Granite State are. We've just been so serious the last couple times we've had you on the show, so I'm hoping that in the next few weeks, we are able to have that room to do a lighter segment.
I know. I it's weird. Like, I don't think I've lost my sense of humor, but
yeah,
it is all very serious stuff. It's hard. I mean, I try to find, you know, the light points, and I have a lot of great moments with my family.
Yeah.
But we just have so many good things in New Hampshire to enjoy, and things were going so well, and they're going to go well again. They are. There is definitely an end date to this. I don't know what it is, but it will end, whether it's through a vaccine or, you know, just suppression of the mortality rate. I mean, that's what it's really about, you know, getting the mortality rate down.
Yeah.
And if we can do that through pharmaceuticals, or the scientists and the brainiacs can find a path, until they do, we're going to keep doing what we do. And I think we do it really well. And I just can't thank our team at the state enough. They've done a great job.
I can't thank the people of the state enough. Yes.
The citizens have done a great job making those sacrifices and getting it done for us. So we really appreciate
and
it.
It's made
a
huge
difference. It has saved lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone has.
Yeah, everybody's made sacrifices.
It sounds dramatic, but I mean it. What we have done as a state, the citizens, have saved other people's lives. You don't realize that the distancing, what you're doing, is saving somebody's life right now. It really is, because look what happens to those states when they don't make the sacrifices that we made. And God bless it. We just want to thank everyone for being a big part of it.
Well said, Governor.
Thank you so much.
Listen, my friend, I know you've got a big day ahead of you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Be well, everyone.
Governor.
Be safe.